So let's start with the first question. Why have a group in the first place? Now, the first issue that has to be addressed is if you look carefully at the groups that exist in the Ummah today, you will find that there are two types of groups. It's not actually just one single type of group. There are actually two. The first type of group is actually a type of Islam group. This type of group believes that their Islam is better. Their iman is better, their aqidah is better, their manhaj is better, their tariqah, their ulama, their shuyukh. Their starting point of Islam is a superior starting point. And everybody should be that type of Muslim. And then you have a second type of group that is a task-based group. It is a group that is an organization in order to achieve a specific hukum or a category of ahkam in Islam. These types of groups are groups, for example, who are organized, for example, to build a masjid or to collect charity on, for example, a large scale. Any type of group that you form in order to just achieve a single objective, and you don't call people to be that type of Muslim, rather you're just saying any Muslims who are good Muslims can join this group and work towards this particular objective. And Hizb al-Tahrir is the second type of group. It's a task-based group. It's a group that is working to a specific objective, which is reestablishing the Khilafah, resuming the Islamic way of life by reestablishing the Khilafah. Now, does Islam allow a task-based group? Kind of goes without saying that the answer is yes. We all know that Islam allows charity groups and so on. But I'm going to prove it with the ayat in the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, just so we're on the same page and we understand that specifically these types of groups and exactly how they are defined according to the Quran and Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al Imran, ayah 104, after A'udhu billahi min shaitan ajim, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَلَى الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let there come from amongst the Muslims, the Ummah, a group. And Al-Tabari, Al-Qurtubi, Al-Jalalain, almost every single tafsir says that this is referring to a group from amongst the Ummah. And Al-Jalalain said that it's a fard for this group to exist. That there come from amongst you a group that calls to the good and orders the ma'roof and forbids the munkar, and they are the successful ones. That last part, and they are the successful ones, indicate that this is a fard. There must be groups like this within the Ummah. And so the ayah starts by saying that there come from amongst you a group that does two tasks. One, calling non-Muslims to Islam. يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. They call to Islam itself. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. This is referring to calling Muslims to implementing the shara of Allah Azza wa Jal and obeying Allah Azza wa Jal and abstaining from sin. This extends all the way out to accounting the rulers. We know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a very powerful hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was narrated in Al-Jam' al-Saghir, narrated by Abu Hurairah, and it's graded as sahih, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ أَوْ لَيُسَلِّطَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَيْكُمْ شِرَارَكُمْ ثُمَّ يَدْعُو خِيَارُكُمْ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ. You must order the good, the ma'roof, and you must forbid the munkar. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the worst amongst you, over you, as your rulers, and then the very best amongst you will make dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not answer them. So this ayah is saying these groups must exist, that call to Islam, that call to the hukm of Allah azza wa jal, from the very basics, all the way to societal issues related to the hukm of Allah azza wa jal and the rulers. So, not only that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicates in the hadith, in Musnad Ahmad, narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr, he said, لَا يُحِلُّ لِثَلَاثَ أَن يُكُونُونَ بِفَلَاتٍ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا إِن يُؤَمْرُوا أَحَدُهُمْ. It is not permissible for any three people to be anywhere on earth doing something. It is not halal. He says, لَا يُحِلُّ. It is not halal for anybody to be, for any group of three people to be anywhere on earth achieving a particular task, except that they put one of them as the Amir. As long as you put one person in charge. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, even if you're doing the smallest things, this is the thing about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, it's a deen of organization. It's a deen of having a particular task and setting up something so that you achieve your tasks in an organized fashion. And this pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, having groups is not only an obligation, but it is also required in terms of setting up, achieving tasks, big tasks. And what bigger task is there than working to change the tyrant regimes in the Muslim world who have been fighting the return of Islam to the sphere of application on society for almost 100 years now. It's 90 years as of this event. It's been 90 years that these systems have been fighting Islam, and you think that we'll be able to achieve it without being a very organized group that understands exactly what our objectives are. And this task of re-establishing the Khilafah is not a task for Hizb al-Tahrir. Yani Allah Azza wa Jal revealed Islam to all of us. He revealed Islam. Does He not say, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu? Are we not Ya alladhina amanu? Are we not those who believed? Who did Allah Azza wa Jal reveal Islam to? People who are born rulers or people who are born scholars? Islam was revealed to every single Muslim, every single human who believes in Islam. And we are responsible for these obligations. Everybody is responsible for ensuring that all the ahkam of Allah Azza wa Jal are applied on earth. So going back to when I started, when I said Hizb al-Tahrir is a political party whose ideology is Islam. A lot of those words seem a little bit vague, and I didn't go into it intentionally. When we say party in that statement, we're talking about a task-based group. When we say political party, it's something I want to clarify. The word politics has been misunderstood, and as the brother who introduced the conference stated, that politics has now become synonymous with corruption and lying and cheating, and it's looked at as the art of deception. But would you believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called prophets politicians? Was Abu Bakr not a politician? Was Umar not a politician radhiyallahu anhuma? Uthman and Ali radhiyallahu anhuma, were they not politicians? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, "Kanat banu Israel tasusuhum al-anbiya. Kullama halaka nabi khalafahu nabi. Wa innahu la nabiyyu ba'di, walakin khulafa fayakthirun." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Bani Israel used to have their political affairs managed by the prophets. He said, Tasusum. And anybody who speaks Arabic knows that the Arabic word for politics is siyasa. And Tasusum is the verb tense of the word siyasa, meaning they used to manage the political affairs of the people. Every time a prophet died, another prophet came after him, but this time there will be no prophet after me. Rather, after me, the managers of the political affairs will be the khulafa, and they will number many. Jazakallah khair. And they will number many. This is how Allah Azza wa Jal, this is how Allah Azza wa Jal and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam set the system of the Khilafah for us and identified for us that the management of societal affairs was the work of the prophets. And after Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, the Khulafa took over in terms of societal management of the affairs, and this system fell in 1924, and we've been without it. Absolutely nobody representing Islam in terms of our societal affairs and management of our resources or unifying the ummah, protecting the Muslim blood, and so on. So that answers the first question. Why groups? Because it's an obligation. And because it's the only way to achieve the objective.